Welcome to another episode of the Running Our Mouths podcast. This time I'm joined by maybe someone who I think has the coolest name in all of track and field, Mr. Maverick Darling. Maverick, how's it going?
It's good. It's been a fun 2 weeks here now in Belgium and been in Ireland and finally getting used to the European time schedule and finally adjusting and being able to sleep for full nights. So things have been really good the last couple of days now that I can get a full night's sleep and wake up in the morning feeling great.
So before we even get started, I'm curious. You probably told this story before. The name Maverick Darling, where does it come from?
Well, I haven't told it too many times, but I think most people can assume that it is Top Gun oriented. I was born in 1989 and the movie came out in 86, and my brother was already born, so his name was already done, and my mom was a huge Tom Cruise fan, and she was in love with him. Now he's a little crazy,
yeah.
So she's not a huge fan now, but back then when he was hot stuff and he was the actor to be, so she just picked it. You know, she wanted to give me a unique name that many people wouldn't have, and I guess my last name just kind of goes with it, and it floats really well, and it definitely... It's cool because it starts a lot of conversations when things get a little stiff and, you know, breaks the ice a little bit. But I certainly love it and I embrace it. Maybe I'm not as good looking as Tom Cruise, but I try to be a Maverick personality as much as I can.
I feel like growing up, I think, maybe this is actually not too far apart from me since I'm only 21.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Maverick Darling would be an ID, a name I put on a fake ID. Did you ever have that problem growing up?
I have had that a lot growing up, more so in college.
Really?
You know, I go to college and, you know, you go to parties and you go to bars and things like that. And you hand them your ID or you tell someone your name's Maverick and they're like, yeah, that's a joke. And then I would tell them my last name and they're like, you really must be joking. And I'm like, no. So I've had to... I probably had to whip out the ID to show to people over the years, probably close to 100 times, so they can confirm that that is my actual name.
Have you run across anyone else who has a cool name in track and field? I know there's Trip Hurt, who's like a steeplechaser. Anyone else that comes to mind?
Trip Hurt, no. I can't think of anyone else that comes to mind. One funny story is I did run into another Maverick in college. I met through a mutual friend. He was a year older than I was, and his last name was not very good. It was Edberg or something like that. Very, very not as smooth as Maverick Darling, but it was quite funny because I had never met another Maverick. But in track and field, I don't know. There's not very many names that get that close to that.
That's pretty cool. So let's talk about Europe a little bit. This is it year two or year three for you?
This is my third year. This is my second time being based in Leuven, Belgium here. I came here in 2013, just ran one race after college, ran the Houston 5K. Last year, I was injured, came over late, went to Italy in September, and ran a 5K in Rovereto, and then ran a 3K in Rieti. So this is my first time getting two countries at once and being here for last year I was only here for 8 days and then year before 5 days, so you know, this is a whole month. This is a completely different thing, but I'm excited, and you know, we've got great races lined up and already got two out of the way and three big ones really coming up for me.
What's been the biggest benefit you've seen out of a longer trip?
I think it's just getting used to the country and the customs, really just soaking in the time change and everything like that. I certainly, the first year, I think I got lucky and really adjusted to the time change well. Last year, the first race, I just didn't adjust to the time and I felt really, really tired and just ran a really poor performance. Mm-hmm. But the second race was really well because I ran really well because I adjusted to the time. I think that's the biggest thing. The food has been great everywhere I've been in Europe. I haven't had like a bad experience with that. Knock on wood, we don't have any more problems with that. But I think that's the biggest thing. And you know, getting with a bunch of guys this year, staying with four guys is nice because usually you just have one person, and if you don't like that person, it can be awkward. At least I'm staying with three other guys I really enjoy spending time with, and then there's a couple guys down the road, and there's just a lot of people in Leuven this year, and most of the people, everyone knows everyone in running, and just having that familiarity with the people you do know. So I think that's been a big thing this time around, definitely.
I was at the track yesterday in the morning, just when everyone got out to their workouts, and you're back out there with Reed Connor. I mean, was that a little bit of a going back to the old Wisco days?
It definitely was. It was nice because, you know, Reed is here, and we're basically doing the same races except for one, and it definitely brings back memories, and Reed and I are very close. I would consider us brothers at this point. Yeah. I've spent a couple spring breaks at his parents' house in Texas, and so we're very close, and it was definitely nice working out with somebody. I think he was the one that was more confused because he didn't know what he was going to do for a workout, and because we're running the 5K together, he's like, I'm just going to jump in and do what you're going to do, and he was feeling a little sluggish on his last race, and so he's like, I'll just go with you on this one. So hopefully it worked to benefit both of us, but it's neat. You know, we've got a long tradition at Wisconsin with many Badgers over the years, and so anytime, you know, your meets like this, you're definitely going to run into somebody, and it's even nicer when it's Reed, just because of our relationship.
Now, that's something that's pretty interesting, and I feel like maybe you could talk a little bit more about it. It's the fact that when athletes come out here to Europe, sometimes it's really hard to get a workout in between so many races because you're racing every 3 or 4 days. So it happens a lot, right, when you just happen to see someone at the track and it's like, what are you doing and what are you doing? And then just kind of find an in-between with your workouts.
I think everybody, you know, there's a lot of groups in the United States, but then they come over here and everybody gets separated.
Yeah.
And if you know someone that's in your event range, you know, and they're doing a similar workout and you guys can compromise a different rep here and a different rep there and change the time a little bit, it's much easier. We all know it's much easier to work out with other people. And so anytime you can jump into another workout or you know, come up with a combination workout together and save each other's legs and make it easier, you just do it. And I've been lucky to do that just the last two workouts I've done. I mean, you definitely compromise on the volume and maybe the intensity of your workouts because you are racing so often. And so you have to get your mindset out of, you know, I have to do this much work at this much pace, or, you know, if I'm not doing what I normally do, well, this is different, you know. Instead of racing every other weekend, you're now racing, like you said, every other week or 3 or 4 days. And so you just want to feel good. So you make sure you're doing workouts that are in that range where you're going to feel good in terms of volume and intensity.
You've bounced around a little bit since going professional and doing your own thing. Yeah. I feel like we've seen you do some stuff with Ben True, some stuff with Very Nice Track Club. What's your situation right now?
So currently I was living in Michigan. I still am until after this trip. I'll be in Michigan until August 15th. I've decided to move back to Madison, Wisconsin and go back with Mick Byrne.
Yeah.
It was a great year to get away. I felt I needed to move out of Madison to grow as a person and as an athlete. The last year and a half has been very inconsistent for me in terms of training blocks. Every time I seem to turn a corner, someone's right there with a baseball bat to knock me right back down. And so it's been tough because I think you've seen glimpses of it here and there that, I can run well when given the opportunity and given the legs. So it's been tough, but I just decided that I need to go back to Madison because Mick, one, he knows me, and I also needed a better balance in life. And that was being around friends. I'm also going to go back and get my master's program in athletic administration, which I started my first year out of college when I was there. I got a semester in, and it's something I want to do because I want to use that for coaching later on or something in athletics. And so, you know, I called Mick a couple weeks ago and said, you know, hey, this is what I'm thinking, and, you know, would you be willing to help me? And I didn't want to just be a guy that was around the program. He knows that I'm very committed to this and just have had a bad run of luck. I wanted him to be 100% committed to me as an athlete. I know I can't request 100% of his time because he's paid by the University of Wisconsin, and I'm not his top priority anymore, and I completely understand that, but I wanted him to be 100% committed to what I was going to do, and so we worked it out, and I'm excited about going back.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of friends that are still there. I've been talking a lot with my best friend. He's working in the academic services there, and so it's going to be very exciting. I just knew something was missing, and I can't look at this last year and a half as a failure.
Right.
What I get upset about is missed opportunities when you see guys running well and there are good races where you think you can perform well. I look at it as a learning curve. And if you're not learning from mistakes. I mean, yeah, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've also picked some things up that I think we can use for training in the future when we get to that stage. So, yeah, I've been with Ben True and Sam Chalanga. You pick things up there. You pick things up with Ron Warhurst. So we're just kind of looking to the future and hoping that we can get everything all worked out where I don't keep getting banged up and really turn that corner and turn it fast, you know? Yeah.
Ben will be in that 5K. What's a big thing that you learned from him, spending some time with him?
I think the blue-collar athletic work ethic. He is just a truck on wheels. He just keeps going and going and going. Right. And the guy, he'll run through anything, you know? And I just think it's hard work.
Right.
And seeing that from a guy that maybe wasn't a Galen Rupp coming out of college, you know? Galen Rupp was very successful in college, and he's been very successful at the professional level, where Ben was one of those guys that was kind of hidden under the radar and has gotten to that level. And you take something from him, and, I mean, he's a great person. He really is. Yeah. And I enjoyed being with him. I just couldn't live in the Dartmouth area. I just didn't like it. And so, you know, making that focus mindset of just, it's not always easy.
Yeah.
And he really showed me that, you know, he's a guy that's working hard, and maybe something to take away from that was just, you know, keep plugging away and find another gear in your work ethic.
And so you're ready to kind of go back to Madison and be in that college area type of setting. So what did you take away from being with Ron Warhurst and the Very Nice Track Club for a little bit? Were there kind of in Ann Arbor and surrounded by University of Michigan? It's like you go back and there's kind of the temptation, oh, you know, there's the guys on the team, I want to relate to them. But you got to focus on yourself as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a balance there. And there's a fine line where, you know, you want to have that team type experience, even though you're not a part of the team. But you really are about working with others and making yourself better at this point. It's not, there is no more team Wisconsin or team Badgers. It's team, you know, it's team Maverick now, and team Saucony for that matter of fact. And you really, I think just being around people and not always running with these professional guys, you know, maybe where they're a little less serious and they're not so anal about how they do things and whatnot. Right. I'm looking forward to getting back to that type feeling. I know, you know, I won't be working out with all the kids, but I'll be working out with some of them, and then some of them I'll be doing on my own. There's going to be that balance between that. But I like Madison because of the college environment and the town itself, and that's what I really miss. I mean, being around the team's going to be great too, but I think it's more the town for me.
When you look at the team now, who impresses you the most?
Definitely Malachi Strobligen. He's he's a hardworking kid, and, you know, Mick told him that I was coming back, and he was extremely excited, and Mick thinks he has something that's very special, and I knew it when we recruited him. I saw it in him, and I told Mick, I said, you know, this kid, he's got that it factor, if you will, and that's what makes the good athletes better than the great ones. And so it's, you really have to look at it in that fact, and he works hard, but I think he's missing a training partner, and so maybe I can help him in that area, and he can help me. I mean, he's more of a 5K, 10K guy, and so I'm looking forward to working with him because I know he is a kid that has a special talent and he could be a very good runner. So looking forward to that.
There's a lot of young guns there too. There's the Joe Hardy. I guess he's got a great recruiting class as always. How much have you kept tabs on them?
I keep tabs on them all the time. I'm always looking to see how they're doing. It's tough because, you know, you want to be there and you want to, you know, help them carry that trophy and win those Big Ten titles and things like that. I do my best to kind of create that balance between you're not a part of the team anymore, but you know, you want to be successful. I know Mick is a fantastic recruiter, but he's also a really great person, and I think that's what helps him get a lot of really good recruits. And they are very young, but they are very talented, and they have some real potential on them. But potential isn't anything unless you put the work in. And I know Mick is a working guy, and he wants to, you know, show those kids a blue collar attitude, and I'm looking forward to what they can do. Hopefully they can win another national championship.
Yeah.
Being part of that is something special, and I'll take that for the rest of my life. And I would love to see a bunch of good kids that work hard do the same.
You got some time with Reed Conrad here, but who do you miss the most from that national championship team?
Oh, God. You can't just put them all in one. I miss them all, and I miss them all for very different reasons.
Yeah.
Reed, because our personalities are very similar. Mo, just because some of the things he says is very, it's unique. He can be a little oblivious to some things, and so it's always great when you get a line from him and you're just like, everybody stops what they're doing. Ryan Collins, because of his humor, the guy was always pulling tricks on everybody. Elliot, just because Elliot's a blue-collar guy and a really, really awesome person to be around, and kind of like myself a little bit, so that's why I miss. But, you know, we may not keep the best tabs on each other, but we are always in communication every once in a while. So it's nice, you know, people move on, but that's something we'll always take, and that's such a special memory for all of us.
What is it about that those national championship teams that was so special and that you kind of see a little glimmer of with the current team?
I think it's four or five guys that set their egos aside in the greater good of one goal. Definitely Mo could have been a guy where he could have really, really challenged his junior and senior year for a national championship, where he kind of sacrificed himself in workouts, maybe not doing to his full potential because he wanted to stay with the group, because he knew if we did that, we would all gain confidence from each other. I think when you have four or five guys like that, that can really set their egos apart, and especially when they're all very good runners, and you can do that and you can go capture something. I mean, somebody should write a book about how that year and how magical it was and how fun it was. I mean, it was unbelievable. But when you can get people to respect each other and work together in a capacity that we had, you're going to do special things.
And how much of that is the Mick Byrne factor? Because, I mean, if we look at some of the teams, right after, I guess, a bulk of that national championship team left, there was a lot of question marks around, like, can Mick get back on the podium? And he ended up, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head if they ended up winning Big Tens again. And then from there, he had this team of relatively kind of not really unknowns, but a lot of question marks still fare pretty well at NCAA.
So we won. That was my redshirt junior year. And then my redshirt senior year, we were second place. And then it was complete turnover in terms of guys. And they were 10th in the country, and they lost the first Big Ten title in 14 years. I think Mick might have underestimated the fact of how self-sufficient we were for so long. Yeah. We really hit the national stage early and really well early. And from there, we just became a very self-sufficient group. And I think he just kind of stepped away from, you know, letting us coach ourselves a little bit. And it was a transition for him kind of getting back into that mode where he had to manage a little bit more and, you know, didn't have that experience in the leadership. And, you know, that's something that people underestimate. Leadership is a big thing, and they just didn't have it that first year afterwards. I think they have it now. And going forward, I think Malachi is a great leader, and Russ Sandbolt's there. And there's some guys that are capable leaders. Now they've got to start doing something with it. You know, you've had 2 years to kind of transition over, and it's not easy, especially when you're a program like that and your scholarships are kind of all bunched into 1 or 2 years, and so you might have a year or two where you're not going to be great, but you're still good. They've been good for the last 2 years, and hopefully they're going to get great. I think there's a lot of potential there, and Mick has done some good things, and now the kids have to just go out and do it. That's the thing about it. It's kind of, talking is done, and it needs to, action needs to be put in place.
So Mick's been consulting you now for getting ready for this Houston?
Yes, he's basically been calling the shots for the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
It was a little dicey at first because he was going on vacation, and, you know, it's a long year for him, and he flies back to New York to be with his wife and his kids, and so I didn't know if he was going to be completely hands-on, but I sent him my log, and then he basically planned everything out. He's like, you got to do this workout in these times, and I was like, oh, you know. I was preparing for really nothing and took some pictures of some old logs from previous years about this time and was just going to, you know, mix up those workouts in together, and hopefully, you know, somebody at the track might be doing something similar and work with that. But he's been calling the shots, workout days. He lets you fill the days in between workouts and races and stuff like that, because each athlete's a little different, and he knows that I don't mess around and stuff like that. I get the job done in that terms. But I'm excited because they're workouts that I'm used to, and workouts that I've been successful at, and so it gives me a lot of confidence. He knows what makes me tick.
What's the goal for Houston?
the goal for Houston is to run the best time of the year for me, and it's been unfortunate every time. Like I said, I've been going to races and just haven't run well. I've run 13:44 this year. I was in a similar situation last year at Mount SAC, and I ran 13:36, basically off of 8 weeks of training, and I'm at 10. So I think really anything from 13:40 to 13:25, which would be a 2-second PR, is capable. I know that's a big time gap, but you just never know how you're going to feel on race days. And I got here, ran the first race at Cork, ran 7:58 in a 3K, which doesn't sound great, but the conditions were terrible. Mm-hmm. It was really cold and windy, super windy. It was like hurricane wind out there. And I felt, I got sixth place in that race, and I felt very confident after that. And that was on the 7th of July. I come back 4 days later, you know, really off of 9 weeks training, run a 15 at Kortrijk, and run a PR, second and a half PR. So I really think I can run anywhere from 13:25 to 13:40. You know, when my PR of 15 PR before that, I had been basically doing 2.5-3 months of solid good training. And so now, you know, coming off of basically just 10 weeks of running, not even solid training, you know, maybe 5 weeks of good workouts, you just never know. And so I really don't know what's going to go in there. I'm going to go in there and stick my nose in there like I do every race. And hopefully 65s feel a little bit better than 60-61s and then that 15, and I'm just able to relax and run 65-64s for 12 and a half laps and end up getting close to a PR or a PR. I think that's a pretty successful race considering the circumstances.
You mentioned that 15, 3:45 after 2 years of not even touching that distance on the track. How'd that feel to just get back out there with some speedsters?
That first 400 meters really hurt. And then the rest of it, I just knew I was strong enough to keep going. Definitely, you know, maybe do one or two reps at 59, 60 seconds in a workout or, you know, every 2 weeks or something. So doing four of them in a row in a race where you really haven't done anything like that and, you know, a year and a half or so, it was shocking, but I was just surprised at how well my body handled it and was able to walk away really smiling from that race. I would have liked to have been a little bit more competitive the first 400 meters, but saying that now, it did feel bad when I was in the race, so you never know, and we'll just going to keep moving forward. You know I have to get faster in my mile and 3K if I want to be a better 5K, 10K guy, and so I think it all works together, even though you may not specify in that event, it's running. And so you just go out there and run the race that you can and to your best ability and be competitive. You know, a lot of people, I think too often in this sport, in this time and age, and part of it is the internet. We do get a lot of exposure and a lot of great things come from that for distance running. But I think people too often just focus on time and they forget about being competitive. And so that's, I generally try not to look at the clock in the race and just really look at the people and the heads in front of me and just go after it. And that's what I'm going to do this Saturday.
13:27 Houston 2 years ago. Yeah. What do you remember about that day? Just being, I feel like everyone talks, I had this conversation with Joe in the last episode, talks about how great the Houston track is. The air with the trees, I guess, helps a lot. What's special about the track?
I think it's just, 2 years ago when I was here, we had great weather.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Temperature, the wind was dead. The pacing was perfect. I remember that race, I hadn't raced in about a month and a half. And so I was a little sluggish the first mile, and I was literally in about the last four or five people and just kind of kept moving up and feeling better K by K. I think this race has gotten a reputation. You're able to come over in Europe and run a lot of 15s and 3Ks if you want. There aren't a lot of opportunities for 5Ks unless you're Diamond League guy,
right,
or on that Diamond League level every week. And I feel this meet has now become almost the Peyton Jordan of the European season. And so you get a lot of Americans, there are a lot of East Africans and that come over and they really do a good job of setting the races up for pacing. And you know, you throw in some really good Americans and you throw in some really good Africans and you're going to get some good results. As long as the weather's cooperating, you know, people are going to run fast. So I just think this meet has kind of grown. every year, and it's kind of like the pinnacle. If you're not going to make the world championship team and you're not on one of those teams, this is like that meet if you're a 5K, 10K guy to just get in there and really get after it. So I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting and hoping to just run well.
You haven't touched a 10K distance since 2013 on the track. I mean, is that you're probably going to definitely go back to it in 2016, right?
Yes, I have been trying to debut a 10K for the last year and a half. I've always wanted to do it. And 2013, my senior year in college, I came up to the idea. Mo was trying to convince me to do the 10K outdoors. He's like, you got to do it. You're really good at it. I've never run a really fast, Peyton Jordan set up time trial 10K, if you will. Mm-hmm. Everything I've done is in the championship season. And Mick told me no because he knew my heart wasn't in it and I really wanted to run the 5K. And at the time, I may not have wanted to admit it, but it was probably true. So the last 2 years I've been trying to do a 10K, but it's just unfortunate I haven't put that training together to get into one of those races to do it. But we are going to focus on the 10K next year. I know that I have to run faster in the 5 and 3 in the mile to get a faster 10K. But we're planning on running Peyton Jordan 10K and really putting all of our focus into that and then reevaluating from there. If it goes well, we'll stick with the 10K. If not, we know we can run both, and we kind of do training. We're going to set up training where it's 5K, 10K based. But I really want to just get in there and run a fast 10K and see what I can do. I had a lot of success in cross country and 8K and 10K, and so I don't see why I can't. But I just haven't had the opportunity to do it. And next year being an Olympic year, you definitely want to find your niche and find your event, so you can try to make one of those teams. And I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to be tough. And Mick told me to pack my lunch and get ready to get back to work. So I'm looking forward to it. He knows that that's what I really want to focus on. Not that I don't want to run 5Ks. I definitely do. But I think, if I'm ever going to make a team, it's going to be a 10K.
Right.
I think my best chances are going to be in that. I'm not saying I can't be competitive in the 5, but I think the 10 is where I'm just a locomotive. As long as I keep going, I just keep running. So I'm looking forward to it.
How much do you miss cross country?
I thought I would miss it a lot, but every time I run cross country now post-collegiately, I'm like, God, I'm so glad I'm off the grass. I'm like, how did I get so strong for running on this? I miss the team aspect of it for sure, just because we had so many great memories, and I guess I was pretty good at it in college, but now I'm just like, get me on the track or on the roads. I'm kind of shocked at that. Sometimes I run those races and I'm like, God, why did I ever do cross country? And so maybe because the cross country distances are all, 10K or 12K.
Yeah.
So, in college I had the 8Ks to kind of prep me for the 10Ks. So maybe missing that preparation doesn't help me as much as I would like, but I'm definitely more on the roads track guy now. I don't think I'll be trying for any cross country teams, especially this year. I ran at Boulder and I just DNF'd. I dropped out at like 7K. I was dying. I felt like I was sucking air through a straw, and I was like, nope, no more for me. So no more races at altitude.
Yeah.
No cross country races in the near future. So.
Altitude training, is that so you want to rule that out for the fall? Or?
Yes. I definitely, being that I'm going to go back to school, it's only going to be 2 nights a week, but you won't allow me to do that. Mm-hmm. I went to altitude. I'm glad I did. This year, went to Flagstaff, January, February. It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of people, kind of like Leuven right now, there were a lot of people there, and we had a good time and lots of people to run with. I didn't get what I wanted out of it physically. Mm-hmm. And so for me to justify making another 5-6 week trip, it doesn't seem right financially, and it doesn't seem right training wise. And so I'm not completely ruling it out forever, but I think for the next year, definitely not going to happen. I felt like it just got up there, didn't run well after I came off of that. And not like I wasted 5 weeks, but it was just like, wasn't the 5 weeks you were hoping to get.
Indoor season, it's something that I guess you probably won't touch, right? Even with
I think I will. I think I'll do probably
just 3Ks, 5Ks.
3K, 5Ks, maybe a mile to lead into a 5K or 3K that's going to be fast or whatever. But I'll definitely do two or three races. just to kind of get the wheels turning a little bit and get into a racing mode. I feel like I just kind of have been, the last year and a half, just been jumping into big races, and I'm not prepared because I haven't got the race routine down and just really don't feel comfortable going into races. So, yeah, definitely two or three races to just kind of get my feet wet, mm-hmm. back into the racing mentality and really, you know, tune in on the race prep and making things go.
Last fall, you ran a 5K on the road. How did the roads feel to you?
The roads feel good. As long as they're 6-7 miles or under, I definitely think that I want to focus on the track.
Yeah.
But I almost want to focus on the track in terms of racing 60-40. You know, I think the roads can supplement mm-hmm. the track really well, and it breaks things up so you're not always running around in circles and races. And so that's good for my mental state, I guess, if you want to say. And you can use those roads. There's less strategy, I want to say, in races on the road sometimes. And so you just, you know, you go for it from the beginning, which is nice. But it just preps you in many different ways. And so for now, definitely mixing a lot of roads in with the track. You know, maybe before Peyton Jordan, you know, doing a 5K or, you know, 5 to 10K on the roads just to kind of get things going would be nice. And, you know, get me used to the physical aspect of that longer distances. But I love the roads. I mean, fortunately, I've had some success. A lot of success. I've placed third at 2 U.S. championships on the road. The first one was a total shock, but the 5K in Rhode Island really was not. I thought I was going to win it. Diego Estrada just came flying by me the last 50 meters, so I was a little disappointed after that one. But, yeah, I like the roads, and I like the combination of the roads and track. And where I'm at in terms of event specificness right now is perfect to complement those two together.
Seeing a guy like Diego, who you mentioned, have so much success at the half marathon distance, I mean, does it kind of, as someone you've faced off in college with a couple times, does it give you a little bit of excitement to maybe someday down the road, I mean, kind of soon, maybe try that half
distance? Yeah, I definitely think so. I think as long as I'm still in the sport and, you know, given that opportunity, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years,
right.
just dabble my feet into a half and really give it, you know, a good solid effort and really train for it. I don't think I would have to change training too right. much for it. So it could be a good experience as long as it's positive for mm-hmm. me and the results are positive. I don't want to rule out the marathon, but it's just not
down the road.
It's down the road. but the half is much closer
in
terms of in the future. And, you know, being that, like I said, I've had success on the road, it makes you think, God, you know, what could I run? You know, and Diego did crush that U.S. half. He's a great guy and a great athlete, so I don't know if I would go out there and knock out a full bases loaded home run like he did, but you know, I think we could have some success in that area for sure.
All right, let's line up the schedule before you head back to Madison.
So Houston 5K this Saturday on August July 18th, and then we've got a 3K in Dublin, Ireland on 7/24 of July, and then a 5K in Nove, Belgium on August 1st, and then I'll be heading back August 2nd. After that, I'm not sure yet. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go back and take a break. I really wanted to judge this trip on the last three races. I said said to myself, don't get upset if the first two races don't go well. You really want to focus on the 5-3-5 mm-hmm. and then determine what I'm going to do. Am I going to take a break right after this? Or am I going to keep running, maybe do the 5K Rhode Island race again?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's really up in the air. But we'll just get through this first, see how things go, and then we'll reevaluate when we get back in the States.
Awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Maverick, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.